Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hello and welcome to Millennial Love, a podcast from The Independent on everything to do with love, sexuality, identity and more. This week I am so excited to be back and be joined by author and former Love Island star Amber Rose Gill. We're going to talk all about her debut novel, Until I Met You, what it was like to write romantic fiction, her time on Love Island, dating and so much more. I can't wait. I hope you enjoy the show. Hi Amber, how are you?
I'm good, thanks. How are you?
I'm very good, thank you. So congratulations on your novel. Can you start us off by telling us what it's about?
So thank you, first of all. It is about Until I Met You is a really sweet holiday escapism romantic novel about a girl called Samantha who gets dumped right before our best friend's wedding that's in Tobago. And all of our friends are sort of hitting milestones, like obviously getting married and other, you know, buying houses, and she's kind of like lost. And it's her navigating that situation and the people that she meets along the way. And that's all I really like to say because I don't like to give away too much.
Yeah.
But when people like talk to us about it, they're like, give us a little bit more. I'm like, no, that's all I'm saying.
Well, exactly.
You have to read it.
Yeah, you have to read it. And I think you've sold it very well. It's like the perfect holiday read. It's pure escapism. Tell me why you wanted to write fiction, and specifically fiction about love and dating and romance.
I was a romance reader when I was younger. Like, I used to love like reading romance, and at the time I had no problems with it, but now I look back, it would have been really nice to see like representation or like something that resonated a bit more with me. And so it started off with a competition with Mills and Boone to find a new writer from an underrepresented ethnic background. I always get that. It's hard to say. It's a mouthful.
Yeah.
But yeah, from an underrepresented ethnic background.
And you had a co-writer, Nadine Gonzalez.
Yeah.
So how was it working with her on creating the story? And how did you come up with the plot? What were the kind of main themes that you wanted to address?
So Nadine was just the best. We're really just like soundboarding off each other. I would write a piece, she would read over it. She would write a piece, I would write over it. It was just had like big brainstorming sessions where like we'd just come up with a bunch of different ideas, and there wasn't really anything that specifically that I wanted to get in there. I knew I wanted like really like heavy on the friendships because I love my friendships. And I wanted it to be in Tobago because obviously part of my heritage is from Tobago. And I think nobody really thinks about Tobago, but it's gorgeous.
And I know that you've spoken about wanting to kind of like subvert traditional romance stories. And you kind of touched on it earlier about not feeling represented in the stories that you read as a kid. How do you think your story does that?
I always found with romance as well, the girls were never like me. They were very much softer than me. And so I liked having characters that were a bit stronger and just different personalities that are like in like my world, like my friendship group. Like there's little parts of me, there's little parts of my friends. And I think it's just nice when you're reading to sort of feel that connection.
And they have more autonomy, the female characters,
I
think. They have much more independence than what you would normally.
Really, like I used to love reading, but I think I just would have had a better experience if I had had those kind of characters. Mm.
And when you were writing it, how much did you draw from your real life, if at all? Because I know this is something that female novelists get asked about all the time. And yes, it is quite insulting because it implies that you have no imagination. But at the same time, you know, as someone who is also writing, I know that your real life sort of subconsciously comes into the plot, whether or not it's like, you know, you're not necessarily writing about something that exactly happened to you, but everything that's in that book comes from your brain. So subconsciously, there are things that are going to kind of slip in. How did you navigate that process? And did you find yourself like putting too much personal stuff in there or not enough? Like, how did you work about
So I kind of wanted to avoid it being anything to do with me, because I think especially where I come from, like the Love Island thing, I just didn't want it to be anything about that. And so it was really hard because, like you say, subconsciously, you're always like go back to your like experiences. And I thought I did a great job of not. But then people are like, oh, but didn't that happen to you? And I'm like, what kind of thing? Like, I really tried to like not do that. I can't remember what it was. And I was like, how did you even make a link between those two things? But yeah, I think subconsciously it's always going to happen. But I tried my best to avoid, because I didn't want it to be anything about me. I wanted it to be completely separate. You know, like you say, I got an opportunity to use my imagination and creativity, and I really wanted to use it, not just write something that I've been through, you know?
And obviously it's about, you know, holiday romance. So just on that subject, you know, do you think that holiday romances can go the distance? Do you think, you know, you can have that kind of intense summer fling and then it can turn into something longer?
I've never experienced it.
Have you experienced the intense summer fling that hasn't gone the distance?
You know what?
Not including Love Island.
Well,
because I know that's sort of the same, but excluding putting that to one side for now, because that's a bit different being on a reality show.
Yeah, it's not the same.
Yeah,
No, I haven't actually, and I think that's kind of why I wanted to write about, because I thought, like, you know, I just want to be creative with it. What I think it would be like. Yeah, I've never. Never, it's not really my vibe. I like reading about it, but I don't know if I would do it myself.
No, me neither. Because also, like, I don't go on holiday to have a fling with a stranger.
Yeah,
I just went away on my own now. And I suppose, you know, in my head, I was renting a villa, and the person who I was renting the villa from was like, oh, you'll be sharing a pool with a neighbouring villa. Maybe there'll be a handsome stranger sharing the villa.
Yeah, like,
and you'll fall in love. And I was like, no, I just want to read and enjoy myself.
Yeah,
and
that's
right. Obviously, like, I was in Santorini. Like, obviously, it's not some, like, single guy. There's no single men in Santorini. Yeah. It was, like, a couple from Australia.
Yeah, no. I'm totally with that. Like, I want to turn. I want to read. Yeah. I want to drink. I want to enjoy. I don't want to get to know someone new.
No, me neither.
It's not my vibe.
Let's talk about Love Island then. I cannot believe it's been 3 years since you were on the show. That's wild. Obviously, you won with your partner at the time, Greg, who you split from, was it 2 weeks after the show?
I think it was four.
4 weeks.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I mean, that's the quickest ever, but, you know, it's not as bad as two. Four. So, 1 month.
Were you surprised that you won? Because you met, Greg came in quite late into the show.
Yeah, like a week to the final.
Yeah.
It was insanity. Like, that's never happened before. So obviously when I knew I was going to go on, I sort of went back and watched some of them. I wasn't like a massive fan of the show, but I used to watch. And when I look back, there's like a formula, like somebody gets with someone, a girl and a guy get together really early on. They have like a little bit of a like situation, and then they go on to win, and that's it. And that was like across all the seasons. And so I thought, nah, like there's no chance in hell I'm going to win this year. Like I have been single for majority of the show. It's not going to happen.
Yeah.
And so, yeah. And then it happened.
Well, I think it was probably mainly down to your likability and popularity. No offense to Greg.
I'm not saying anything. No.
So how did it happen when you left the show with him and you guys ended things? Like, was that process of coming out as winners, was there a degree of pressure on that? Did you sort of feel like, oh God, we've literally only just started dating, really, and now we've won Love Island together. Mm-hmm. Are we supposed to fall in love, get married?
Like, yeah.
I guess there was a lot of pressure there.
Oh my God, there's so much pressure. Like, it was insane how much pressure you get, you know, are you in a relationship? Like, are you going to move in together? And it's like, you wouldn't ask somebody these questions. I've only known in 2 weeks. Like, I've only known him 2 weeks, and I remember coming out and I was just looking at him and I was thinking, I don't even know you. Like, I don't know you. I know we weren't together and stuff, but like, I couldn't be in a relationship with you. I barely know you.
And do you still talk to anyone from the show who you're on with?
Yes, I do. My friends that were on the show, I'm still friends with now.
That's
like,
so
most
lovely.
Of them, yeah.
That's really nice. Is there a WhatsApp group? Everyone always asks about WhatsApp groups on Love Island, by the way.
But there wasn't, but everybody left it. I don't even know if I left it, but everybody else left it. I used to love just watching who's leaving it. So like, everyone leaves it.
It's so funny. People are so interested in that sort of post-Love Island reality of just, because obviously we've been watching everyone for like so intensely for so many weeks, and it's like, oh my God, now we know nothing about your lives.
Yeah. See, I'm like the opposite. Like, I love the show and I do the commentary, and then once it's done, I'm like, great. Unless there's someone that I really like and
I'm invested in.
Yeah, and then I'm going to like probably bum into them and follow them. But I'm not bothered. Once the show's over, I'm like, well done. Bye.
So what did you make of this season? Because like you mentioned, you've been commenting on it a bit and on Twitter as well. And
yes. Never again, by the way. I'm not commenting
on really?
Twitter anymore.
Why?
No. It's just too much. Like, I get bullied into doing the commentary. So I was like, this year, I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to tweet about it. Like, I'm just going to leave it. I might watch it, but I don't know. And then everyone's like, where are you? Where's your tweets? I was waiting for your commentary. I'm like, I'm not part of the show anymore. Like, no, we're not doing this. But yeah, and then I end up doing it. But I don't think I can do it anymore. So it's too much because, like, I have an opinion and the things that I say always come from a lighthearted place. I don't hate anyone that's on the show. I don't feel that kind of way. Obviously, I'm exaggerating what I think.
Of course, yeah.
So that people laugh on Twitter. I'm not, like, mean in any of it. But people take everything that I say to heart.
Well, like, there's no nuance on social media. So yeah, anything you say is like, oh, my God, she has such a strong opinion about this person.
Yeah, like, no,
consider the context.
Yeah.
You're on Twitter. It's a reality TV show. No one cares that strongly about anything.
No.
What did you make about the men on the show on this season? Because there was so much chatter online about their behaviour and criticising the sort of like toxic masculinity thing this season. What did you make of that?
Well, yeah, I was shocked. I was so shocked. It was just like, I actually felt a little bit uncomfortable watching some episodes. Like, I just felt, and I don't, like, there wasn't anything that bad happening, but just something inside it. I was like, I'm not enjoying this like I should be. I mean, yeah, I didn't really like the way that they went on. It was quite hard to watch.
Yeah, I think it's always quite, that's the thing about Love Island, isn't it? Because you see, well, you don't see everything, but you see things from both perspectives, and you see very often the women being manipulated or controlled by the men, and it's so clear to the viewer.
Yeah.
And what's interesting about it is those are situations that would normally be so internal that, you know, even if, you know, that woman tried to explain, like, she wouldn't necessarily be conscious of what was happening.
Yeah.
And that's so important that that is kind of recognised and talked about. And that's why I think Love Island is so brilliant, because it does kind of illustrate how that controlling behaviour happens and why it goes unnoticed.
And that's part of the reason why I like talking about it. Obviously, I like making jokes and stuff. But that part, like, it's important for people to see, like, actually, that's not normal.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, that doesn't mean that someone loves you.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
I think because now obviously everyone who goes on the show becomes very famous very quickly, and it is fundamentally about finding love, but it's, you know, it's also so much bigger than that.
Yeah.
Do you think people can still really find love on the show? Because I think this season is the first time in a while where it's felt like there are couples, like quite a few solid couples who we think will be together for a while, you know, like India and Dami, Andrew and Tasha, maybe Gemma and Luca, obviously Ekansu and Davide.
Yeah.
You know, what do you think?
I don't know. It's hard, isn't it? Like, so I was thinking, like, how the hell are you going to, like, find someone? You got a group of 30 people. It's not your choice, like, who these 30 men are. How is that possible? But clearly it is for some people. It wasn't for me, but clearly it is for some people. I think I'm far too picky to even... I don't even know why I went on the show. Like, I'm far too picky to even be, like... Out of 35 people, I'm like, none of you. But
is anyone from your season still together?
Yes. I think there's only one. Molly and Tommy are still together.
Oh, yes, of course, yeah.
So, and they're cute. They're really sweet together. And so I'm always going to think that you can, just because of them. And I knew them as well, and they're just they're super nice.
I want to talk to you about the experience of going on the show, being in that little bubble, going in as a normal person, coming out with millions of Instagram followers, particularly as the winner, you know, there's so many eyes on you. It's talked about, you know, with increasing frequency over the years when people talk about duty of care and mental health of contestants and stuff. But just on a personal level, what is that like for you to go in that show as a completely normal person and then come out and suddenly you have to just be used to this whole new world? And like watching this season's contestants doing it now, because they've just obviously come out, they seem so at ease with it. And I'm like, how?
Yeah.
How do you get used to that so quickly? Because it must be wild.
Well, I think that about them. I'm like, are you joking? It took like, I know that there was some of us that were in the final four couples. It really took a long time to adjust. Like, even posting on Instagram, we weren't keeping people updated and people weren't happy about that. Whereas I feel like these lot are all like, I'm going to start a YouTube straight away. And I'm like, how do you? Because it was a lot to comprehend, I think, for me. I think especially because I'm very opinionated, I like to say what I think. And it was kind of like I had to dial it back a little bit because, well, I didn't have to dial it back. I got told that I should dial it back. And now I don't anymore. So, and I feel much better about it. But you kind of have to like be prepared that not everybody's going to agree with you. Not everybody's going to like you for like no reason whatsoever. And it's hard. It's hard. Because you're in like a little bubble before. Well, you're not in a bubble. It's your life. But you're not really exposed to people that have such a strong dislike for you or all these people that have strong opinions about you. So it's really hard. Like, it's really difficult. It took me like, I mean, I loved it straight away, but it took me like well over a year to even just get used to it. Like, this is just my life now, you know?
Do you feel like the show, like the producers, they prepared you for it sufficiently, or is there no way to prepare someone?
You know what? I think they did the best that they could, but you can't, like, there's no way that you could prepare someone. I remember being told before, like, you do like psychology assessments, you do all these things. They're like, this is what could happen this way, could happen this way. And you're like, yeah. And then you come out and it's just different.
Yeah,
even if I said to the current ones now, my experience, it still doesn't prepare you for anything. It really doesn't. It's like a personal experience and there's no amount of anything that you can do to prepare yourself for it. Make it sound really horrible, but it's good.
No, it's good. I mean, you seem much more well adjusted to it now, but going back, was there anything that you would have done differently? I mean, you mentioned like being outspoken.
Yeah.
Why do you think you were told not to be outspoken?
Because it's easier to market someone if they're not as much of a nutcase as me, basically.
Not a nutcase, just speak your mind. No, a woman who speaks her mind.
I like enjoying time with my friends. If I want to go out on a weekend, I'll go out. And it's just not very like, it's not very the way that you're supposed to be. You're supposed to be like, everything's aesthetic and everything's perfect and you look good all the time. And like, that's the way that you're supposed to be.
That's just not realistic.
And it's not me at all.
No.
It's not me at all. Like, I like going on the screen with spots on my face because it's just normal. Like, I don't want to be perfect. Like, it's so boring to me. Yeah. So I think it took us a long time to realize, actually, it doesn't matter what people are saying you should do. You should always do what makes you happy.
You know? You mentioned earlier that you're very picky, which is a good thing, by the way. And yeah. I think, you know, we shouldn't demonize people who are picky because it means if you have high standards, that is a good thing. But you've spoken about finding dating difficult since leaving the show. Why do you think that is? Do you think part of that is to do with having those high standards, or is it about being in the public eye and navigating that? Because obviously that adds a whole other dimension to dating as well.
I don't know, I was talking about this the other day and I don't know, like I actually don't know what it is. It's probably a combination of everything.
Well, dating is hard for anyone, I think, particularly at the moment with apps and stuff.
Yeah.
It's just completely changed the culture. Are you on any apps?
No. I used to be on one, but I never, it's just not for me.
Yeah,
it's not for me. Difficult. I always said I would never, but there was one and I just decided to try it out. And like, I just don't like it. I don't want to be on a dating app. I don't like it. I don't enjoy it. Because I feel like I need like to be sat with someone to understand how they are.
Sure, yeah.
Like, and then you catch a vibe. You can't catch a vibe from a little box, like just because you fancy someone, then tick, and then they're the worst person ever. Like, no.
Yeah, and then you end up making quite bad choices because you're making such superficial choices based on the profiles. Yeah. And then you meet them in real life and
it's different, yeah.
There. It's completely different.
It's different. And people always, like, obviously when you date and people always present their best self, but I think that it's so condensed and, like, this is what I like, this is what music I listen to. And I'm like,
it's too curated.
Yeah, it's too much, yeah.
I want to ask you about this tweet that you did that went viral recently where you spoke about your sexuality.
Yes.
And it was sort of like, it's been like, I know that you've been asked about it before and you were like, I sort of accidentally came out. But you said that switching teams had been the best decision of your life.
Yes.
And watching men made you feel ill.
Yeah.
How did it feel putting that out there? And when it was so widely reported on, were you surprised by the reaction to that?
Yeah. That's another tweet where, like, I was like, I was exaggerating. Obviously, men don't make us ill, but in that moment, I did feel sick, so I just tweeted about it. But then everyone's like, she's off men. And I'm like, unfortunately, I'm not entirely off men. I wish I was, but I'm not. And they don't always make us feel ill. Some of them are all right. But yeah, that was like, I saw it getting a lot of traction and I was like, oh my God, should I delete it? Like, what should I do? I don't know why I said it, but like, I just got into that mode where I was like, I'm just being my authentic self and I'm just going to tweet whatever. And I've posted it. And like, I've always like subliminally said things, but maybe not so out there. And I thought that was still subliminal. Okay. Clearly it was not subliminal at all. Subliminal at all. And yeah, just basically outed myself, but it was okay. It is okay. But then it's hard because now I'm like talking about it. I'm like, I don't know what to say because I don't like, for me, it's not like this big thing where I needed to like announce it or like make a big deal out of it. It just is what it is. And so now I'm like, I don't know what to say. Like, it's just...
that is saying enough of it because it shouldn't have to be a big thing. It shouldn't have to be this big statement. Like, it's just, yes, this is my sexuality. It doesn't have to be some sort of big reveal.
Yeah.
And that is like, it taps into so much of this heteronormative culture that we live in where you just assume that everyone is straight if they don't tell you.
Yeah.
And actually that's a problem.
No, I know. And it's like, it's opened my eyes a bit to like how it must make people feel like that they have to like do this big announcement and it's not just like, okay, that's it. Yeah. Not to the next thing, you know, because that's how I would, if somebody said that to me, I'd be like, great, good for you. That's
it.
We're
exactly.
Moving on.
It's not a big deal. And that's why I think actually the way you did it is probably pretty good. And it is a demonstration of that it doesn't have to be a big deal. And it shouldn't be. Yeah. Did you have like lots of messages from women being like, oh, you've inspired me to talk about it? Or
Yeah. And I was like, my stupid accidental tweet inspired you. You're joking. But it just goes to show that I enjoy, like, this is why I enjoy what I do, because accidentally or not, it makes people feel comfortable.
Yeah.
And I really like that.
That's lovely.
And I'm glad that I can do that with 7 words on a tweet.
It's time for our Lessons in Love segment of the show. So this is where I ask every guest to share something that they've learned about their previous relationships. So it can be very broad, it can be very specific. What do you think your lesson in love would be?
Do you ever give one or not?
You know what? I don't. No one's ever asked me.
What would your lesson be?
What would my lesson be? Well, I go through, it changes every week. I've literally just come back from being away on my own.
Okay.
And so my lesson would probably be, you don't need to be in a relationship to go on holiday. You are good enough on your own. You are a whole person.
Yeah.
You know, I was in Santorini, which is one of the most notoriously romantic places in the world. And I think part of the reason why I wanted to go there was because I felt resentful that, like, as a single person, I shouldn't dare to go to Santorini.
Yeah.
And everywhere I went, I was surrounded by couples, but like, it didn't feel weird at all because every bar I sat in or every restaurant I sat in, I was like, no, I've chosen to be here on my own. And like, I actually feel really empowered that I'm able to come here. I've managed to come here through work. Like, this is all me. And it feels great.
So I love that.
Yeah, just like, you are enough on your own. You
yeah.
know? That's my lesson. What's yours?
So mine, I don't think it's going to be as nice as that.
That's okay.
Let's think. So for me, it's like, when you start noticing red flags, just go.
Oh, yeah.
Like, let's not drag it out. Yeah. We're all, like, I'm terrible for doing that. Like, the minute that you see, like, red flags that are like, this person's probably going to be a bit, like, controlling, they are going to be a couple of months down the line. So just dead the whole thing.
Yeah. There's a quote, like, people show you who they are. Believe them.
Yeah.
It's like a really famous quote and I can't remember who it is, but it's like, when like people are who they are, they show you that very quickly. And it's so easy for us to, especially as women, to be like, you know, when it's men, like, no, it's me. It's my fault that they're behaving like this. And, you know, put it to the back of your mind and like make up excuses for them, particularly when you like someone, when you love someone. That's a powerful way to excuse their behavior. But you're right. Like, as soon as you get those little inklings, if something's off, yeah, 100%. What would be, like, you know, one or two good examples of red flags you think people should look out for?
Like, if somebody comments on, like, what you're wearing, I hate that. Like, is that how you're going to wear? Like, because then it'll be like, don't wear that. Like, I couldn't think of anything worse than someone saying that to me. like little things like that, I always pick up on, and I'm like, that's interesting that you just said that. Mm. I'm gonna store that in my brain.
Yeah.
And then go. Yeah. Even though it sounds like ridiculous, it just saves you a lot of time.
100%. I think that's such a bad one. And also, just, you know, you should, women spend so much time being policed on the way that they look, you know, let us wear whatever the hell we want to wear.
Yeah, exactly.
As long as you feel comfortable.
That's all that matters. Yeah.
Oh, thank you so much, Amber. It's been so great to talk to you. Sadly, that is it for today. Thank you so much for listening. If you are a new listener to Millennial Love, please do subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Acast, or wherever else it is that you get your podcasts. You can also now watch us. If you want to do that, head over to Independent TV. And please do follow us on Instagram at Millennial Love to keep up to date with everything to do with the show. I will see you soon. Bye.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.